the story wars of hot political issues. I'm opening this thread to have a place to post interesting story wars material that crops up. Story wars are fought with a lot of talent these days, but they lose their punch when examined as propaganda instead of good message. I'll be posting the ones I find deserving comment, and I invite you to do the same. Later we might be able to categorize them according to propaganda technique in objectivist jargon or otherwise, and use them as examples. For my part, I will not restrict my examples to the progressives or left, although I expect to show more from that side simply because they are right out in front in fighting story wars, and they produce some extremely talented stuff. I'll start with one I found to be clever. Climate name change, headline. YouTube link. Even though I know how toxic this message is, I had to laugh when I saw it. I wish the other side were as creative. In the current media environment, this kind of crap will sway far more voters than any set of facts ever will. Or, I should qualify that. If facts are presented creatively against non-facts presented creatively, the facts will win. But if non-facts are presented creatively against facts presented in the normal Yonfest manner, the non-facts will win. Hands down. It won't even be a contest. This particular example attempts to shame opponents of the progressive climate change speculations by linking the names of conservative politicians to actual climate disasters. The propaganda technique used is presupposition. When a person accepts the premise of naming hurricanes after conservative politicians, even as humor, he automatically accepts the hidden premise, the presupposition, that man-made events cause hurricanes, that is, he runs a serious risk of tacitly accepting it until he is aware of it. The proponents don't even need to present proof. They just say, science, and the viewer takes it as such. This video was extremely well done. There's even a petition to sign to go along with it, see here. Granted, a formal petition is part of the humor, but as of this posting, over 50,000 people have signed it. And that's not so funny. Added William quotes and headlines. First, headline by WSS, a story war set off by an indictment and arrest. Russian national spy infiltrated or sought to influence the NRA and the GOP, using sex and spycraft. The name of the young woman in court today is Maria Butina. Headline, how Maria Butina, accused Russian spy, worked her way into top US circles. Criminal charges open new front in bid to counter Russian disruption and suggested American associates of Butina, 29, may be under threat. Headline, the court documents provide new details about alleged Russian spy Maria Butina. They claim she's tied to a Russian spy service, was funded by a Russian oligarch, and used sex. Maria Butina Memorandum Full Text PDF Link. Excerpt from Memorandum. 5. Butina's tie to the United States is a duplicitous relationship. During the course of this investigation, the FBI has determined that Butina gained access through U.S. Person 1 to an extensive network of U.S. persons in positions to influence political activities in the United States. Butina, age 29, and U.S. Person 1, age 56, are believed to have cohabitated and been involved in a personal relationship during the course of Butina's activities in the United States. But this relationship does not represent a strong tie to the United States, because Butina appears to treat it as simply a necessary aspect of her activities. For example, on at least one occasion, Butina offered an individual other than U.S. Person 1 sex in exchange for a position within a special interest organization. Further, in papers seized by the FBI, Butina complained about living with U.S. Person 1 and expressed disdain for continuing to cohabitate with U.S. Person 1. New WSS headline, and a tweet about one detail of the memorandum. No sex, no lies, and no videotapes. Tweet by Rosalind Helderman, username at Postros. Quote, in June 2017, Maria Butina reached out to a progressive civil rights group in D.C., asking to interview them about their cyber vulnerabilities for a no-school project. Alarmed, their security consultant contacted the FBI. Link to Washington Post story. Unquote. Narrative established or propagated through, for example, Lawfare. So what has the government alleged? That Maria Butina engaged in a conspiracy with a Russian government official in order to soften U.S. policy toward Russia on behalf of Moscow without properly notifying the Department of Justice. She did this, the government alleges, by using relationships with officials and influential conservative political groups, including the National Rifle Association, to establish private lines of communication on behalf of representatives of the Russian government. The Russian official in question is allegedly a high-level official in the Russian government who was previously a member of the legislature and a top official at the Russian Central Bank, a description that matches the biography of Alexander Turchin, who was a senator in the upper house of the Russian parliament for more than 10 years and later served as a deputy governor of the Russian Central Bank. Multiple news stories over the past few months have reported on his and Butina's support of the NRA. Indeed, both Butina and Turchin are lifetime members of the NRA. In 2016, Turchin tweeted that he and Butina were the only Russians who could claim that distinction. According to the affidavit in support of the criminal complaint, Turchin directed Butina in her activities in the United States. The affidavit describes the activities of Butina and Turchin in terms of the Russian leadership's broader strategic objectives: to expand Russia's sphere of influence and strength, particularly by penetrating the U.S. national decision-making apparatus and intelligence community. The government lists two categories of means through which the Russians aim to achieve these ends. First, Butina and Turchin aim to establish back channels, or private lines of communication, between representatives of the Russian government and Republican Party leadership. The document suggests that such lines could be used by the Russian Federation to penetrate the U.S. national decision-making apparatus to advance the agenda of the Russian Federation. Second, Butina and Turchin allegedly aimed to establish relationships with American political organizations, including the Gun Rights Organization, which is clearly the NRA. The affidavit alleges that they took these steps in order to infiltrate those groups and advance the interests of the Russian Federation. The affidavit describes tactics within the Russian operation that included assignments from Turchin to Butina, meetings between Butina and American politicians and political candidates, Butina's attendance at events sponsored by special interest groups, also attended by U.S. politicians and political candidates, and Butina's reporting back to Moscow through the Russian official the results of the various encounters with the U.S. politicians and political candidates. Components of Butina and Turchin's tradcraft appear throughout the affidavit, not all of them clever. They communicate by Twitter direct message and email. The FBI agent says he reviewed PDFs that Butina had on her laptop of direct message conversations between her and Turchin. Between the two of them, the affidavit alleges, Butina and Turchin worked to put Butina in touch with influential NRA members. The government writes that Butina sought to arrange a series of friendship and dialogue dinners bringing together U.S. political figures with Russians in Washington, D.C., and New York City. She also attended both the 2016 and 2017 National Prayer Breakfasts and at one point floated bringing Putin himself to the 2017 breakfast. Turchin also attended the breakfast. He and Butina were scheduled to meet Trump after the event, but the White House canceled the meeting at the last minute after a national security aide raised concerns. Finally, Michael Stewart Kelly's concerns. Please listen to this a second time with suppression and edit in place. Respond to the argument, not the man, and follow any good faith suggestions made. Here's Michael's two responses. First, William, how does the propaganda work through story in that case? In other words, what is the story? And what is the covert message embedded inside the story? If you haven't thought of this Butina case through that lens, that's okay, but that lens is the specific reason I started this particular thread. It's not to discuss the message as a standalone issue. We do that all over the place. It's to discuss how the message, whatever it is, gets conveyed into the culture as an ideology through story. That was my intent. I think it's a good idea to have a place where readers can come and look at all the different techniques and know that's what they're looking at without too many tangents junking up the flow. Smiley icon. Michael's second response. 2 hours ago, William.Sherk said, no sex, no lies, and no videotapes. William, I still don't understand the story or the meaning it is intended to convey. All I get so far is a lady accused of being a Russian spy with some salaciousness that may or may not have happened. That's not propaganda. That's not a story war. What is the ideological message people are supposed to absorb from this? That spying is bad? Smiley face icon, Michael. End Michael's response. And finally, William's response to the quite reasonable questions is sketched out. Meditate on these words, please. Headline, Persuasion in Action. 23 hours ago, Michael Stewart Kelly said, on July 18, 2018 at 10:37 a.m., William.Sherk said, Russian national spy infiltrated or sought to influence the NRA and the GOP, using sex and spycraft. What is the ideological message people are supposed to absorb from this? That spying is bad? Could work out badly for her, ideology aside. Future hypothesized pardons and spy swaps notwithstanding. I've consulted the AUT and agree your suggestions here. The first questions above are answerable and quite likely fun to explore on this little story, and I'll get to it later, he said in an unstudied tone as if, oh, my poor head. Such work it is. Explain or try to explain how the propaganda works its war through story, how the persuasion is designed dash in the linked stories in this case of arrest. Or what is the war story? What is the propaganda goal embedded? Which of a panoply of different techniques are used? Is there a larger narrative war within which Maria Butina's personal drama need be embedded to extend our understanding? Ultimately, Soberly analyze the linked stories as if they were propaganda-laden narrative. Implied in these good questions is, what is the counter-narrative as deployed? Use, for example, examples. As Carol suggested, I will meditate upon this. End William comment. Two more Michael Kelly comments coming. First, William, that's good. Just to be clear, let me elaborate a bit on something. My purpose in the posts preceding this exchange looked like they were about Trump at root, which is probably why you thought this was another current political affairs thread, but I actually wanted to use a few of these current affairs to highlight two things. In the first case, if you want to use humor as a story war tool, you fizzle when you tell the same joke over and over. People already know the punchline from acclamation, so there effectively is no punchline, qua punchline any longer. This happened in the case of the hapless cartooner. I'm not so sure he lost his gig over politics as over the fact that the public was getting sick of the same joke. There was probably an element of both, but I would bet the second weighed far heavier in the paper's decision to nix him. Insisting on the same joke is a story wars fail on an elementary level. I probably should refine that. The same joke can work when its appearance is unexpected. But when it is presented in a pattern of regularity, it gets old real fast. That doesn't work for comedians, and it doesn't work for propagandists. In the second case, I wanted to emphasize that stories about abusing babies and children, if you can pull off a credible first impression for the general public, are so visceral, they work at injecting an agenda into the culture even when facts later prove them to be wrong. So it didn't matter that the propagandists used pictures from the Obama years. President Trump got stuck with the image, for many people, of separating children from mothers and throwing them in cages. Rachel Maddow even cried. Smiley emoticon. This works because human beings are hardwired by evolution to care more about the young in a protective manner than about adults. This is built into the lower brain and such stories release a ton of oxytocin and other relevant neurochemicals. A good propagandist knows this works, and it works every time the public gets a first impression that such a story is credible. It doesn't matter whether the story is actually true or what the facts are. It merely needs to appear to be true at first contact. If there is a public perception of credibility that can last just for a day or two, and if the propaganda message is at least competently embedded in the story, no great art required, some of the agenda will inevitably get into the heads of casual readers and viewers. This is a great story wars theme effectiveness-wise. On a side issue, now I know that this is one of the reasons my starving baby in the woods scenario years ago released such a shitstorm in Oland. I didn't know about the neuroscience and psychology of the issue back then. That's why the charge of thinking only with my emotions never took with me. I knew it was wrong within the context of Rand's view of emotions, that is, programmed responses to chosen values, but I couldn't put my finger on why. In fact, I just realized this connection, and it is giving me a clue about how to get a short story I planned way back then now with the title of Melody's Edge, - right. Maybe now I can finish the damn thing. I mean, it's only been 10 years or so. Smiley emoticon, Michael. Two more? One more? 21 hours ago, William.sCHERK said, or what is the war story? What is the propaganda goal embedded? William, I got a little more familiar with the Butina story and the story war theme popped out at me. It's a huge misfire that is going to cost the Democrats dearly. First, let me say that I read a fantastic book on Joseph McCarthy called Blacklisted by History, The Untold Story of Senator Joe McCarthy and His Fight Against America's Enemies by Ernst Anton Evans. Essentially, by consulting congressional records, when they had not mysteriously disappeared, documents of the time, etc., he vindicated McCarthy. But it is now way too late to undo the damage short term. McCarthy lost the story war, and it's going to take decades for the truth to filter down into the culture. I mean, McCarthyism is even a cultural meme. The way McCarthy lost the story war was to allow the propagandists to characterize his efforts as vicious bullying of innocents, persecuting these innocents as Russian agents. And then they labeled it red baiting. Once that term got embedded into the culture with that meaning, there was a total rewrite of history until Ernst Anton Evans came along. But even then, the damage is now deeply embedded into the American mainstream. Now look at the Butina story from this lens. The shoddiness of the charges and evidence make it a perfect case of red baiting. The radical left is already calling the entire Democrats, New Russians, campaign red baiting. Soon this label will become a tongue-in-cheek way of characterizing it by everyone, even by anti-communists. Why do I believe that? Because now the FBI is going into overdrive to find a Putin spy in every corner, variation on, commie under every bed, - see the similarity? With this, red baiting label will come an enormous amount of emotional baggage left over from the McCarthy era that stinks. The left-wing propagandists of the time did their jobs superbly and the stink still endures. But, I predict, in just a little while longer, this stink will end up sticking to the Democrats in the mainstream and it will last for a long time. Just to be clear, the stink is the image of bullying and persecuting political innocents with false or exaggerated charges of covert ties to Russia. These anti-Trump left-wing nucleheads are telling the wrong goddamn story for their health. They know what it did to McCarthy, and now they are doing things to let it be used on them. I can't say I am displeased, smiley face, but that is not the point of this comment. The red-baiting storyline is Michael. End Michael's commentary. Not so fast, everyone. Late-breaking response. That makes, what? 5 to my Williams 1. No, not quite. But listen. Michael may have done some of Williams' homework. 11 hours ago, Michael Stewart Kelly said, "Now look at the Butina story from this lens." End quote. And how about looking at it from another obvious story war lens? The entire Butina storyline being presented in the media looks like it is drawn from the Americans' 2013 TV series. Hell, knowing the nucleheads involved, it might be. Smiley face. Why would a propagandist do that? If that TV show was indeed the source of inspiration for this particular New Russians story? Obviously, the intent would be that the US low information audience would get warmed up to the storyline through the TV show, thus accept it more easily when presented as reality. I'm not saying the Americans was made or conceived with this in mind. But I am saying one storyline for the New Russians propaganda was most likely drawn from it. There are probably others out there waiting to get their 15 minutes in the media, too. Tying TV shows to propaganda is not new. There were several TV series that tried to get Americans accustomed to a female president, Hillary Clinton, and, maybe, covertly get independent voters to vote for Clinton. I'm not making this up. People involved in the series projects openly admitted it. I don't have links or time to look right now, though. I read about this stuff in news stories at the time where they interviewed the creators and producers, which is how I know about it. The most obvious example was Madam Secretary. The thing is, that's a good series. At least I like the episodes I saw. It's still running and I haven't seen anything from the later seasons, but I bet this initial propaganda intent has been abandoned. As an aside, I think they shot themselves in the foot with House of Cards, though. The Underwoods were too eerily like the dirty side of the Clintons. Kevin Spacey going down in flames as a sexual predator came too late to neutralize this awareness in the target audience. Here in Oland, think of the covert anti-authoritarian message in the movie version of We the Living during World War II and how it got banned in fascist Italy. I believe the same principle is involved, but I admit it is only speculation. Anyway, if the term red-baiting for the Butina case takes in the mainstream, it will undo all that effort in the New Russians story war, which is already floundering. This storyline is still quite strong in the fake news media, but it has not moved people in the heartland to accept it as a blemish on President Trump. They will accept red-baiting, though, as a blemish on Democrats if presented in the right manner. So many covert signals. Butina is even a redhead. Smiley face. Michael.